from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. It's a beautiful morning here in Dripping Springs, Texas. Hope it's cool where you are. Cool meaning cool. And it's January 8th, 2019. It's a shame we don't use words like cool any longer. I always liked it. I think we'll bring it back. You're so cool. Well, we have a fun show for you this morning. Always try to bring in folks that are curious, interesting, doing some different and, you know, new kind of things and looking at this area of natural healing. It's a plethora of stuff out there and trying to weed through what's working and what's not is always fun. We haven't done a lot of things on stem cells, but we received a lead on a lady from our friend Fraser Bailey, who did a great documentary on root canals and stuff called Root Cause that I helped him with. I was a research consultant on that, which is now on Netflix, by the way, called Root Cause. And you can check it out on Netflix. It's really a well-done documentary, not just, not that there's anything wrong with it, but not just a bunch of talking heads and going from this person to that person, like most documentaries are, and they're fine. But his is more of a drama, and it's really well done and very colorful. Did quite a good job of explaining the hazards of root canals and cavitations and such and root cause. But anyway, his new documentary is all about stem cells. And he's down in Australia, and I was on the Skype with him the other day chatting about things, and he told me about the lady who will be on next hour, and he said she's really good and she's got a lot of fun things going on with stem cells in Florida, Christina Carmella, and so we'll talk with her next hour. So a little background there, how we run into people. Dr. Thomas Lewis is here this morning first up. And a pretty interesting fellow. I don't know how we ran across his website, but he's doing some great work with Alzheimer's and also brain and eye diseases and how these things are all connected up. And so you'll meet him right now if you care to join in the conversation. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Hold on a second. It's my personal line. It's always something, I tell you. I usually unplug them. Dr. Lewis, good morning.
Good morning to you, Patrick. How are you this morning?
Well, we're just finer than frogs here. Boy, we had a lot of fog here. We can't even see 2 feet out our window. I don't know what that's about.
We had that yesterday.
Oh, you did? Oh, so it's coming our way. Great. I'll just call you if I want to get the weather forecast every day.
There you go.
Say, Dr. Lewis, what's going on in eastern Tennessee? Oh, yeah. So what's your experience with Alzheimer's? How did this all happen for you? I know kind of a dumb way to start the question, but I like to people to get to know you, start the show.
Well, the people I think who do the best job in having empathy and really developing great protocols and programs have a testimony. And mine was, my dad died of Alzheimer's 16 years ago. And 15 years ago, I met a miraculous researcher and clinician. Patrick?
Oh, there you go. Boy, we just lost you. I don't know what happened.
So sorry about that. Yeah, we've been having a problem with Skype and connections. And I don't have a landline because we're out in the country. But so my dad died of Alzheimer's 16 years ago. Uh-huh. And I discovered this amazing doctor 15 years ago, Dr. Clement Tremp at Harvard. And what was unique about him is he was an ophthalmologist. Uh-huh. And so he's saying, Alzheimer's ophthalmology, what is that all about? But the eye is truly a window to your soul, but it's also a miraculous window to your health. A good eye doctor can see both vascular disease and neurological disease happening by looking at the back of the eye.
Oh, you're talking about a real full-blown out ophthalmologist who can go in their doc and look at the retina and the little veins back there and all that.
Right, but even an optometrist, because ophthalmologists tend to be more surgically oriented, so they see an eye problem and it's hammer and nail kind of thing, whereas, optometrists are doing much more investigatory work. They don't know how to treat these diseases, or at least they don't in the standard of care. But there's so much to be gleaned by screening people for eye diseases. Let me give you a simple statistic.
Yeah.
Let's take three groups of people. One just diagnosed with breast cancer, one just diagnosed with prostate cancer, and one just diagnosed with an early cataract. Mm-hmm. No big deal. Cataract, number one surgery in the world. 6 years later, 10 times more people with a cataract are dead.
Really? What
from? They've all died of cardiovascular disease. So, you have a lady coming on next about stem cells.
Yeah.
So this misfolded protein we call a cataract is a very significant health, adverse health pathology, which is really telling you that your stem cells are not working normally. Why would you have an opaqueness in the center of your visual field? It's really a sign of stem cell misfunction. Actually, it might be a bit of a misnomer, but it's telling us that the body is doing something very significant to try to keep you alive. But yeah, it's very...
What could it be doing? Yeah, that's interesting. I like this, where you're going here. What is the body, do you think, doing to do that opaqueness that's trying to keep you alive?
I was just in a conference in Switzerland on Alzheimer's on this very topic. So the hallmark of Alzheimer's disease is this beta amyloid 142 plaque aggregate. And work at Harvard and at the NIH has shown now, even though it's still a therapeutic target for the drug industry, they're going down the wrong rabbit hole because 400 trials have failed. That misfolded protein is actually a collection of protein that's in a class called antimicrobial peptides. So basically, when you see a cataract or someone has Alzheimer's plaques, they most likely have a chronic low-grade, otherwise undetected infection in that tissue, and your body's responding by creating this new protein that is basically an antibiotic, an antimicrobial peptide.
Wow.
And this is well documented by the folks at Harvard.
Infection in the actual eyeball itself?
Well, let me give you an example. So, okay. And in the brain of Alzheimer's patients. So I have a gentleman that joined my team. He listened to me at an Alzheimer's summit, and I said, glaucoma is Alzheimer's disease of the eye, and Alzheimer's is glaucoma of the brain. They're the exact same mechanism, except glaucoma usually shows up earlier and is easier to see. And this gentleman, a very good functional medicine doctor, immediately called me up because he's had glaucoma for 25 years. So he's tried all kinds of functional protocols, and we treated him with my protocol that I've developed with Dr. Tremp. He had a very localized, what's called a Herxheimer's reaction. And if your audience doesn't know what that means.
Sure, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay, it's a flu-like response, but his Herxheimer's reaction was completely isolated to the retina. So this gentleman was perfectly healthy everywhere else in his body, but he had a focal infection just in his retina. And that's the insidious nature of these kinds of diseases. So you have glaucoma. Someone does a blood test, your blood test is somewhat normal, but it's only because you have just a little bit of infection, highly concentrated and living like what I call a hobo in one tissue and destroying that tissue while everything else is rather in good shape. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused. But I stay confused, Doc, so don't worry about it. The glaucoma, that's more of a pressure issue, is it not? And then,
well, so that's how we treat it. But what causes pressure? It's an inflammatory process.
Okay.
That leads to changes in autophagy in the eye, you know, clearing, whatever. But the pressure is, that's why they've been very unsuccessful at changing the course of glaucoma, because they've only treated pressure. If you look for a low, low-grade inflammation and low, low-grade infection, I can guarantee you that probably 9.9 out of 10 people with this disease have an inflammatory focal infection or inflammatory process in the back of the retina. That's what we found. We published three books on this topic, not specifically about glaucoma or Alzheimer's, but, you know, we do have a book on Alzheimer's, a book on chronic disease, and, you know, we're kind of outliers out there. There's probably several dozen like me in the country that realize that there's a very strong mechanism for disease. It harks back to Louis Pasteur, the germ theory. Your immune system weakens even transiently, temporarily, and we all have latent infection. Think about shingles. What is that? That's herpes zoster virus that should be dormant for life, but it's coming back out to play. Do you think that's the only thing that can lie dormant in your body and come out to play when your immune system's weak?
There could be a kabillion things down there.
Exactly. And, you know, the number one thing that people know about is Lyme.
Yeah.
You know, Borrelia burgdorferi. I mean, some people get bitten by a tick, and 50 years later, they have chronic pain, or what my good friend Ken Singleton, who's at LymeDoctor.com, calls, you know, Lyme brain. And, you know, so these things can lie latent in spore forms. They go through, they have some very interesting life cycles. We call it cryptic disease. This is Paul Ewald. He's a Kentuckian. Cryptic disease means it's very difficult to associate the causal factor with the condition.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, if you're bitten by a tick when you're 6 and you get Alzheimer's when you're 60, it's hard to make that connection unless you really know what you're looking for.
But on the Lyme thing, people aren't really getting a Lyme bacteria or something from a tick, are they?
They are.
Oh, they are.
They're getting, that's called vector disease. So, you know, you can get vector diseases from bed bugs, from fleas, but the main thing is ticks. And this is Judith McClosey in Switzerland. She's a top researcher, in my opinion, in the world in Alzheimer's. And she wrote a paper in 1993 titled Alzheimer's, a spirochetosis. Well, what's a spirochete? It's a certain type, class of bacteria. The Lyme bacteria is one such. And she's been spending the last 25 years of her life showing the cause and effect relationship between spirochetes, including the Lyme bacteria, and a whole host of neurodegenerative diseases like glaucoma and Alzheimer's.
But do we not have a lot of these things lying dormant anyway?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. So there's two people that get these conditions. In general, you know, I'm generalizing. One, it's a person with, you know, poor lifestyle habits whose immune system is weaker compared to someone with good lifestyle habits throughout their entire life. And at some point along that continuum, these dormant bugs can come out to play at what I call a clinically relevant level. And then there's other folks that have a good immune system, but somehow, maybe at some point in their life, even a moment in time, they became vulnerable. And these hobo bacteria or viruses or fungals can come and infiltrate a specific tissue, that's a focal infection, and live there kind of under the radar of your immune system. And, you know, this wasn't made up by, you know, someone who didn't know what they were doing. Charles Mayo, the founder of the Mayo Clinic, was one of the authors of the concept of focal infection. So it's, you know, it's very real. You know, it's amazing. If you go to Wikipedia, just something simple, and type in, you know, white blood cells or neutrophils or any part of our basic immune system that everybody knows of, and or even the Mayo Clinic website or WebMD, and you're going to see that they tell you that the neutrophils and the white blood cells and lymphocytes fight infection. Yet no doctor in allopathic medicine, even infectious disease doctors, are looking for a low-grade chronic infection. And it's a real misstep. But, you know, we recognize that, you know, look, when you die, you go to an embalmer. Why? Because even though you're not interacting with the environment, you start decomposing, and you're decomposing from within. So basically, your immune system is simply keeping its war, and it's simply keeping all kinds of things in check. And it's mainly living, proliferating things. You know, your gut has good bacteria, your gut has bad bacteria. We have bacteria all over our body. So, you know, when you die, your immune system is zero. You know, what happens if your immune system dips down from 100% to 10% at some point in time?
Yeah. You know, so you call these
a simple concept. Yeah.
So you call these hobo bacteria, where maybe the reason why we were talking about root canals earlier. My dentist has done a lot of work with Dr. Stuart Nunley with root canals and did a peer review study, yep. And they studied these root canals, and they find these weird things in these root canals, things like leprosy and syphilis. I mean, these things are just hanging out in the body?
Neurosyphilis, you know, that was called general paresis before we called it Alzheimer's. They're in the body everywhere, and that's why your white blood cells are always around 5,000 counts, because they're constantly doing battle with these things. You know, let me give you a statistic to show you the connection between infection and immune health, okay? In America, 12.5% of births are premature.
Okay.
In Europe, in the developed countries in Europe, only 6% are premature. Why is that? And researchers at the University of Arizona have shown that periodontal bacteria isn't just isolated to the gums and the bones and in the jaw. They can get all around.
Right.
And it's now been shown that excess periodontal bacteria in the placenta is able to create a stillbirth, a premature birth. So, you know, our food supply in America is far worse than in Europe. We just got back from Switzerland, and I can guarantee you of that fact, smaller farms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you buy Swiss chocolate in America and Swiss chocolate in Switzerland, they're very different animals.
Right.
But, you know, it's affecting the quality of our army of protectors in our body.
Yes, sir.
So that's why, you know, even 20-year-olds with, you know, drinking the Mountain Dew and whatnot, having premature births, it's related to how the sugar feeds the bacteria, feeds the bacteria in the gums. These things can get around. They travel. In fact, the spirochetes in the brain travel inside white blood cells, and this has been shown by Harvard.
Yeah, that's interesting about the preemies, and if it is connected to the you know, gum disease and the microbiome in the mouth, and maybe it's more that in the Western world we have this carpet bomb, let's kill everything mentality, as we've done with our mouth. We've done shows on that, where you go in and kill stuff, right, with just, I don't know,
right,
hydrogen peroxide, and even our natural people, we used to do that, right? And that kills everything, right? It'll croak everything. And
so, you know, these things live in biofilms.
Biofilms,
and so
right.
Hydrogen peroxide is killing the good bacteria,
right,
and
right.
The bad bacteria living in a biofilm is just doing very well. Thank you very much. Yeah. So
there's no doubt in your mind then that the microbiome of the, you know, we know about the gut, but the mouth as well is causing problems for people because it's going all over the body.
Well, the microbiome of the skin, microbiome of the heart. You know, we now. You know, Ruggiero has done a lot of good work on that, and there's a gentleman at Harvard. I can't pull his name up right away. Who's done some amazing work on the plethora of microbes that exist in all sorts of compartments. You know, the brain used to be considered sterile. Now it's not considered sterile. It has its own microbiome.
Well, stay right there. So let's take a quick little break. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Really cool stuff. RealHealthClinics.com is his website. Dr. Thomas J. Lewis. He's got a picture here. He's working with a Dr. Clement Trempe, maybe somebody we'd like to get on too, and really interesting stuff. So stay right there, and we'll do more. If you have not experienced the benefits and the daily fun and healing aspects of an infrared sauna, I think you're really missing out. And we have one that we've been promoting for 10 years that is a personal unit. You sit in it, comes with a chair, nice chair, not some $2 camping chair, a really nice sturdy chair, put a towel over it. You sit in there, your head is out, zipper up, and turn on the controls, and you have a far infrared unit that not only puts out the far infrared rays, and these are special units that are made in a medical university in Taiwan that's won 3 or 4 different awards. They're very special, and not just, don't buy one on the internet that looks like ours for $600, and we sell it for $995. It's a great price. If you email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, I'll hook you up, $995 delivered. This baby will get up to about 160, 170 degrees. You get these heat shock proteins for the heart, and you're getting lots of sweating, much more than most far infrared saunas, and then you're getting the far infrared healing rays. So it's really quite an amazing unit, and I've been using mine almost every day forever, and you can just do it all the time, and 20-30 minutes, it's terrific. And a lot of these yuck stuff hide out in the fat, we know that. Just email me, I'll hook you up, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, give you a special price that we can't put in print, $995. If you live outside the United States, we have a lot of listeners around the world, and we'll get you one. You'd be surprised how little the upside is to ship it to England or Italy or China. We've shipped them to China, we've shipped them to Japan, all over the world, and it's not as much as you think, because they get shipped right out of Taiwan when you're outside the country, with the special plug that you need for where you are. Email me and I'll hook you up, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Previously with Mr. Living Streams, Wayne Blakely, about our Bifido product.
In Americans, we eat food without theatrumenica, which is in curcumin. The turmeric plant is grown in India. It's full of yttrium. You take and convert it to curcumin and concentrate it, which is loaded with yttrium. We eat that curcumin, and if you have the right bacteria in your gut, you'll absorb that. You'll actually usually utilize that in your digestion. But if it's not there, then the body will utilize calcium. Get the yttrium out of the curcumin, okay? Mm-hmm. Get the yttrium out of it. You have to have those two bacteria in the lower tract. What I did was I took the two bacteria, pre-digested it, so you've got the product already digested. So that's why it works on everybody. If you don't have those two bacteria in your digestive tract, you can't absorb that stuff. It's not absorbable.
The yttrium
or the curcumin. It cakes up in the lower tract is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It won't break it down.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I pre-digested it. It's the bacteria in there. It is loaded with bacteria. I mean, there's 90 million per milliliter in there. They're all alive, too. They're not dead like powdered stuff. You know?
Yttrium, who'd have thunk it? Wow, this is a marvelous nutrient that is essential to absorb our nutrients. And it's barely there in American soils. Or you get it now in Bifido, Living Streams, in our store, the Bifido product, OneRadioNetwork.com. If you're new, this is Wayne Blakely that you heard, and we've been working with Wayne for about 3 or 4 months now. He's got, we think, the best probies in the land, in the world. Pretty big statement, but they're all living, they're all human DNA genre, and he's got about 14 different products here in our store. We recommend you start off with a multi-blend and the minerals, put those in your water every day, and you can have a little bit of the multi-blend with water when you eat. Bifido, he's got a special Bifido that'll get down to the small intestine without getting the HCl in the stomach, the stomach acid croaking it. You can actually put it in your ear and it'll go right into the small intestine if you got some SIBO stuff going on, and I've been playing with that. I mean, these little probies are good, and mix and match, and they have the perfect molecule, which are probiotics for C60, which we think there's a lot of stuff, good stuff going on with C60. It's called the perfect molecule. So check it out. Just go on our store and look at them. If you'd like to get more information, talk to Marilyn. Her number is 360-912-2981, 360-912-2981, and she'll give you some more information. There's a lot of things that Wayne doesn't want to put in print. He's kind of on a short leash when it comes to the FDNA, and they're real careful about what they say, and so that's how they do that. And email me if I can help you too, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. It is January the 8th, 2019, with an interesting fellow, Dr. Thomas J. Lewis. He is a medical scientist, holds a PhD in chemistry, MIT, certification from Harvard, a Harvard guy, Harvard School of Public Health, and entrepreneur in healthcare profession for a long time. Dr. Luce, we talk with a fellow in Africa a few years back, ophthalmologist that was talking about the different little veins that he would see with his special camera in the back of the retina, and he could tell what the plaque was going on around the body that way, and then he had heavy doses of vitamin C, what he uses, and would clear that out. Is that similar to the work you're doing, looking at the eye?
He's a rare bird. Imagine if you were a cardiologist and you didn't have to contend with the skin, the chest, and all the tissue. You can just look directly at the heart.
Yeah,
that's what you're seeing. That's what you're seeing in the back of the eye. There's so many markers in the eye that give us clues. And you know, that cataract study, for example, that was not just a small study. There's 17 studies around the world, including NIH, that confirm what I'm telling you about cataract death. But yeah, the eye is one of the most vascular tissues there is, and with a good microscope, you can actually see capillaries and red blood cells flowing through the vessel. So if you think disease is only in one tissue in the heart and not in the entire circulatory system, that's a pretty naive view. So it's one of the few places, and I have multiple quotes from various ophthalmologists around the world, you know, it's the only place you can see a bare nerve and a bare vessel without doing any cutting, real time, in the patient, non-invasively and extraordinarily inexpensively.
Yeah.
Why it's not done more widely, but what we offer is, if anybody wants to get an eye exam, go to their local doctor, get the eye exam, and we'll do an interpretation in terms of what the eye is telling me about your neurological health and your vascular health.
Oh, you're talking about go ahead and do the dilation, doc, and then get pictures of the retina?
Yeah, most people have insurance every other year to get a complete eye exam. The problem is your eye doctor is just looking generally to sell you glasses and whatnot.
Yeah.
But if you can get the digital images and send them to me or my team, we will interpret them from a chronic health, chronic risk, brain health, and vascular health perspective. So there's nothing unusual. I want the doctor to evaluate you for glaucoma. Mm-hmm. I want the doctor to evaluate you for macular disease. Mm-hmm. I want the doctor to evaluate you for cataract.
Yeah.
And the last thing I ask is run a scan with a device called OCT. It's like MRI, but nothing like the pain and misery of that. And it's actually much more accurate. It gives a three-dimensional view of the retina. And that tells me if there's any deterioration or a loss of neuronal ganglial cells in that tissue.
Wow.
The same thing I can guarantee you is going on in the brain. Yeah. I can guarantee it.
And the brain. And other parts of the body as well, not just the brain, I would suspect.
Well, so, you know, there's a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine, the top medical journal. So there's a paper called Proteotoxicity, Alzheimer's Disease of the Heart. So anytime you see plaque build up, it's probably going on in other parts of the body. You know, the $64,000 question is, why does someone get rheumatoid arthritis, someone gets psoriasis, someone has a heart attack, someone has a stroke?
Mm-hmm.
But see, the underlying cause behind all these maladies and pathologies are very common factors that, you know, if you don't articulate and elucidate them early, people die. I wrote a book, it's on my website, it's on Amazon, called Quarterback Your Own Health, and I talk about three people, Jimmy Lee, David Goldberg, and Tim Russert. All these guys died suddenly, you know, between 45 and 60.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jimmy Lee was 61. He was the top investment banker in the world. And, you know, my question to folks out there is, the minute before their heart attack, were they perfectly healthy? How about the day, the week, the month, the year, or the decade? And what medicine is doing an extraordinarily poor job at is measuring where you are on the health risk continuum. And I believe my team, we've invented this algorithm with my Harvard colleagues called your chronic disease temperature. It's a single score based on a myriad of important labs being interpreted from a mortality perspective. And we can tell you what your chronic disease temperature is and provide you with the means to improve it.
Cool.
And
Let's talk about the cataract again. So let's retrace what we said early. So the cataract, did I understand you to say that this is a low-grade infection that's in the eyeball itself, and the eye is trying to do something to correct it or balance it out, and that's the opaqueness that shows up on the eyeball?
Right. So, you know, first of all, you know, I mentioned focal infection. It could be systemic, you know, whole body.
Yeah.
And the eye is just sort of a canary, or it could be in the eye itself in a relatively healthy subject. So if you have someone who's pretty sick, there's a good chance they're going to get a cataract. If you have someone healthy that gets a cataract, well, they have something localized. But we can detect all of that. But, yeah, the misfolded or unfolded protein that we call this opaqueness called a nuclear cataract, and there's even another type called a cortical cataract, is really your body's response to some type of insult, some type of invader, some type of inflammation. And, you know, inflammation is your immune system working. So what is causing the inflammation that's causing your immune system to react? I mean, if you're in a dark room and someone lashes out at you, you lash back, right? That's, you know, that's a cause and effect. The same thing's going on in your body. The big question that very few people are answering is what and why. And if you don't answer those two questions, then getting better is not going to happen.
Yeah, so how do you determine? So say you work with somebody that has cataracts, and first off, two questions. Do you recommend they go ahead and get them taken off like they have these little laser surgeries first? And then is there a way you can find out what's causing this low-grade infection?
Yeah, there's the misfolded protein is the same protein over and over again. It's beta-142 or beta-140. So we know what it is. So if someone has a cataract, they don't have to wait. You know, if you look at the statistics, people who have had cataract surgery die at much higher rates than someone who hasn't had cataract surgery. What's the difference between the two? It's not the surgery. It's just the extent of the opaqueness of that misfolded protein. So, in other words, vision loss. You know, people who have cataract surgery generally have very low vision because so much protein has been collecting for a long time. Systemic disease has been going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't detect the eye is just, once again, the canary.
Yes.
The eye is a screening tool. It's the blood tests and the lifestyle tests that tell us what's really going on and how we can help a person reverse the risk that's developed in their cardiovascular system because they have a cataract. Or cortical cataract, a cortical cataract is the Alzheimer's cataract. Very few doctors are looking for it. It doesn't affect vision. It's at the cortex or the very edge of the eye. And so most doctors don't even bother looking for it.
They don't
know. If
you
have a cortical cataract, yeah, you're on the path to Alzheimer's. There's just no two ways about it.
So is it just the different bodies where sometimes this misfolded protein is going to be doing havoc in the brain and maybe also then havoc in the arteries around the heart and stuff? It just depends on the person's whatever immune system and lifestyle and all of that.
Yeah, it just depends on where these things localize.
Where they really collect,
and it's different in different people. But I can tell you what, you know, if you've ever had a stent, you know, had something like that, and they stent the vessel because it's occluded, and you know, it's plaqued up. They call it cholesterol, but it's really calcium. In inflammation, I can guarantee you your entire vasculature is somewhat in ill repair. Yes, they found the most vulnerable plaque, but people with a vulnerable plaque probably have many, many others. You know, when you look at an Alzheimer's sufferer and you do a detailed contrast MRI, they identify often dozens of what are called micro infarcts, so mini strokes. The person could be having a mini stroke today and not even know it. So it's not until they have this profound loss of blood flow through the brain where they then start losing neurons and connections, and then suddenly they start having memory lapses. But, yeah, and they might have a big stroke along that path. But even Alzheimer's patients who've never had a quote-unquote stroke, when you look at them under MRI, so often they've had many, 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 many strokes that you know, only become apparent when you do a test like that.
Overall, big picture, what's your conjecture or why these things plaque up in any parts in the body?
Well, I think it's just, I think we have a, since the early 1900s, we've just really changed so many behaviors that kept us healthy. You know, Dr. Oz says the reason why the Okinawans live so long is they walk up a hill to get their water every day. You know, they're doing weight-bearing exercise. They're getting sunlight. You know, if you look at a map of the United States versus light flux and cancer rates, you know, people in who live in areas like where you are in the hill country of Texas get a lot less cancer than people up in northern Maine, where they're not getting a lot of sunlight. So, you know, you talked about your infrared chamber. I mean, the healing power of the sun was a Nobel Prize in 1903, you know, curing leprosy in these high sanatoriums. We need to get sunlight. Our food supply, you know, we need at least 8 important nutrients out of our fruits, vegetables, and meat. And, you know, the farmers in Nebraska only putting 6 back on.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're at a 22 nutrient deficit no matter where we eat in the United States, unless we're getting, you know, farm grown things. So all the whole thing, and this is Claude Bernard from 19th century France, who coined the term milieu intérieur, or, you know, the health of your terrain. And I would suggest that even though we live fairly long in America, we don't live healthily. We don't have a great health span. And it's mainly because our immune system army is not strong enough against these inflammatory and infectious invaders. I just wrote a book called Uncovering Chronic Inflammation and Hidden Infections. It's a short book. It's on Amazon. And it kind of explains why our immune system exists and explains that cholesterol is part of the third-degree immune system. Amyloid, these plaques that have been demonized by the neurologist, is actually protective. Cataract is an amyloid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do a simple search. Do diseases of aging, you know, early mortality and amyloidosis. Amyloidosis. Amyloidosis simply means a misfolded protein, and I think the term misfolded is incorrect. It's a defensive folding of a protein by our body in response to some invader. So that's really what it is. And probably the easiest place to see a misfolded protein is in the eye. It's clear. They form readily. You can see them. They're called drusen in the back of the eye, and they're called cataract in the front of the eye.
And this scan that you recommend people might want to get if they want to work with you is called an OCT scan?
Yeah, well, OCT, a fundus camera, and a slit lamp. You just go to an eye doc. You go to a traditional optometrist.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a Pearle Vision because they probably don't own an OCT, but you go to a local, you know, you're a local optometrist who you know,
mm-hmm.
and ask for a complete eye exam. And, you know, you could probably get a referral from your PCP if you have, you know, go in there with an eye complaint and get the scan. And I tell you what, it's the best screening tool in the world for your chronic health. Nothing better than seeing the disease real time.
Yeah.
You know, a blood test is you're changing your physiology, but an eye change is a change in your pathology, in your tissue. It's real. You know, it's happening. It's undeniable.
This fellow we talked to, ophthalmologist in Africa on the eye book that he wrote, he was all about heavy doses of vitamin C, to clear up this plaque. Do you have any experience working with that, vitamin C?
Well, yes. Well, I mean, you know, vitamin C is a very tactical substance. We use it tactically, particularly against viruses. That's why it's good in cancer. Cancer has many, many well-known viral antecedents, things that cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin C is not that good against bacterial infection. Really, the best thing against bacterial infection is healthy fats. You do oil swishing with coconut oil and, you know, your bleeding gums stop bleeding. You just kill the biofilm bacteria. So our big thing that we recommend people take is cod liver oil because it has saturated fats, monosaturated fats, EPA, DHA. It also has Vitamin D, you know, you talk about your light. Vitamin D is not D3. Vitamin D that God produces on your skin is D2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a complex mixture. Cod liver oil has vitamin A in its natural state, not beta carotene, all the isomers. It's extraordinarily, it's just, you know, the Weston A. Price Foundation, Mary Enig and Sally Fallon say in their book that cod liver oil is the true superfood. So, you know, I heard you talk about curcumin. Curcumin, you know, herbs are high nutrient density. In my opinion, you know, eat herbs with all your foods. You know, you get high nutrient density, but the best supplement on the planet is cod liver oil.
Really? You know, a lot of folks have a issue with that. They say it's a, you know, rancid and all that stuff, but in your opinion, no.
Well, you know, it's we have extraordinary olfactory sensitivity towards any level of rancidity in fish oil. So it's like part per billion. But if someone, you know, has a chronic condition and they're worried about, you know, my dad, I got into this business because of my dad. My dad was the original organic gardener. We ate fresh and canned and frozen vegetables and fruits all year long. He got Alzheimer's when he was 84. He never ate fish. So, you know, people can make their own judgment. And I would say that probably eating a Norwegian purified cod liver oil is safer than going into the oceans. But then you can always back titrate to the food chain. So go the earliest in the food chain. So algae has omega-3s and sardines, the small fish, you know. I know people wince at sardines, but there's some creative ways to make sardines. They're probably the best because they have iodine in them. You know, you eat the bones and everything, and nobody's eating salt today, so no one's getting iodine. Yeah. We're all iodine deficient, and iodine is antiseptic, and it runs our thyroid.
When you're presented,
it's basic stuff, Patrick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you're presented, Doc, with full-blown Alzheimer's as we know it, and you know, most people just have seen it in the movies and never really experienced it in physical reality. Well, what kind of things do you work with, and have you turned any of these around?
I can give you a link, for your audience to go look at some of the people we've turned around. So we haven't done a lot of videoing because of HIPAA, but these folks have given us releases. We have several videos. But yeah, all I can tell you, it's all about the workup. If someone's truly progressed in dementia, they've lost a lot of synapses. It's a 3-year ordeal, and most patients cannot withstand it. A true treatment of Alzheimer's is going to be involving a lot of aggressive treatment, cycling of anti-infectives, and a lot of herxing. And you know, picture this. You see this beautiful piece of land, and you have this vision of this land and a home, a beautiful home with a picket fence and all that. Well, in between the purchasing of the land and the finishing of the home is a messy construction project. Okay, a messy construction project, and that's what the treatment of people, and the worse the condition of the Alzheimer's, the messier that can be. And you're talking about a person that's older, frail, confused. It's extraordinarily difficult. So I just wrote a paper on how you prevent Alzheimer's from pre-birth to death. There's no time in your life it's too early to start. The only problem is so few people believe they're going to get it. They worry about it, but they don't think it's going to be them. And so they don't undergo prevention. So the only way we're really going to solve the Alzheimer's epidemic is one person at a time, in a prevention program. I mean, if someone has a loved one out there and with some dementia and wants us, our team, to work on it, my medical director is both Bredesen and Tremp trained, you know, so we throw the whole enchilada at it. But frankly, it's a challenge. It's not a challenge to understand why the person has the problem. The challenge is at reversing and repairing it. Yeah. So like a lot of people think Alzheimer's is just this plaque thing. No, it's much more complicated than that. We will usually identify it down to the fine detail. Now it's a question of, you know, insurance isn't covering it. You have to set realistic expectations, and there has to be a home person that can really help manage the whole thing, because we, in some cases, we're working with that person daily.
So it's fair to say then the reason the different arteries and veins might get inflammation and the cholesterol and calcium go in and do their thing is wide and varied, the reasons these things get infected. Anywhere from the mouth to low-grade infections to maybe too much insulin circulating in the body, we've heard about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All those factors.
All those things.
You know, we have a little metaphor we tell people who are in our corporate programs, because we run a corporate disease reversal program. I said, you know, let's just say we're going to have a transaction in 30 days, financial transaction, and I can cut you a check for $1 million, or I can start collecting pennies. Today, 1 penny. Tomorrow, I double it, 2 pennies, 4 pennies, 8, keep doubling it. Mm-hmm. In 30 days, you have $10.7 million. The metaphor is each one of those pennies or days of pennies reflects one little risk. Most of us do not have one big risk. We have a myriad of little risks. And that's what our program is all about, helping you embrace, understand the risks of these little risk factors and how to get rid of them. So we generally see tremendous turnarounds in people in, say, 6 to 9 months. But it takes that amount of time to start removing those pennies. And we're talking about reversing rheumatoid arthritis, brain fog, psoriasis, vascular calcification, all these things that are precursors to Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow. Boy, I tell you, the whole thing with that you talked about on the cataracts and on the glaucoma, that is so fascinating. Boy, to me, it's like, wow.
Patrick, let me throw a challenge at you. We would be delighted to work with your listeners on a program like this, because, you know, you have an audience. And if that's of interest, I think you'd be a great sounding board for this kind of information.
Yeah, so they would just go to your website, the realhealthclinics.com, realhealthclinics.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know you got to run because you have something on your agenda right now. Can we have you back and just talk about your new book?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah. And, I'm working right now with Dr. Stephanie Senna.
You are? Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah, and she just agreed with me. I'm an MIT guy, and she's a senior researcher. We're going to write a book. We're just starting it on the hazards of low cholesterol.
Oh, great. Excellent.
But no one's really studied that, and she and I have studied this for a half a decade each, and I think people need to be aware of that.
But, oh, the connections. That's so...
Boy, I really appreciate time. I love Texas. I've done a little pitching to the Brain Health Center at the University of Texas there in Dallas. So, and I work with a great doctor in Lubbock as well. So,
well, we've had Dr. Seneff on quite a few times on the glyphosate thing, and more and more we're seeing studies from around the world. I'm sure you see them about... the high cholesterol numbers and the longevity for people 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. The higher the number, the longer they live.
I know Uffe Ravenscroft.
You know Uffe? Oh, great.
Yep, and more importantly, I know Kilmer McCulley, who's really the distinguished guru in all this stuff. It sort of stays behind the scenes, but Kilmer is an amazing gentleman, and not enough people have interviewed him.
Well, so, yeah, we'd like to, and we'd like to have you on again, because it sounds like, well, I know, I can tell just by talking to you, you're getting around and you're digging into stuff, and that's what we like to hear. Doc, thanks for being here this morning as a first, and I'll get with you, and we'll have you on again soon if that's okay with you.
It's been my pleasure. I love getting the information out. So
thank you,
take
sir.
Good care, and I'm pleased with what you're doing. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Wow, cool guy, and fun stuff, huh? Man, oh, man. That'd be kind of cool. You could go to your local ophthalmologist and get some of this information, get a full eye thing, and get the digital thing, ask them for the OCT, and they have a fundus camera. And I did that a few years back when I was kind of talking with this fellow from Africa. I'm going to have to get his name. Do we remember his name? What was his name anyway? What was his name? Could go on my search engine and just probably put eye disease or something. We'll find it, and we'll But then let's just put eye diseases. I think we've interviewed him 2 or 3 different times. No. We'll find it. And you can listen to those interviews. And he had me get a picture at my local ophthalmologist, but it wasn't is what it didn't work for him. He needed a more clear rendition. Sounds like Dr. Lewis here could do more work with whatever you can get from your local person. Who was this fellow? Yeah, we'll find him, but he was in Africa and we interviewed him several years ago. Okay, so let's do this, a quick one, and then we're going to move into stem cells. So that's fun. Previously with Dr. Rulin Chu about her product called Pearlseum. So let's talk about the teeth first. Explain to me what's going on, because there's something magical when you dip your little toothbrush in water. Why do they look so sparkly and just, I don't know, something very energetically about the look of them.
Yeah, it's very, very magical. So like a group of scientists in France discovered that when you put the pearl next to the bones or skins or other connective tissues, and they find it stimulates new growth of the bones and skins and connective tissues, and also to make existing bones and the skins more healthy and stronger. So brush your teeth with the pearl, then your teeth will make your existing teeth stronger, and also it will filling up, teeth with the pearlseum, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
It's really a great product. You'll love it. Take it internally or on your teeth, and you can click an order, see the ad right there, Pearlseum, the nice green container, Pearlseum, on OneRadioNetwork.com.